If you can't use a bathroom, you can't participate in public life, and that's really what's at the center of this.
In the final analysis, it's the point to rub the power structure the wrong way and to sort of chafe the status quo so that things change. And if the immediate community gets rubbed the wrong way too, that's simply part of how history moves.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. There's new hope for Northern Ireland marriage equality, U.S. Supremes sidestep trans teen toilet rights, and a queer historian harmonizes street politics and the status quo. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending March 11th, 2017. The door to marriage equality for Northern Ireland's gay and lesbian couples may have opened a bit wider. The ruling Democratic Unionist Party has used a parliamentary procedure known as a petition of concern to block even a debate on the issue in the unicameral Legislative Assembly for several years. The DUP needed a minimum of 30 seats in the chamber to continue to do that. But their recent shellacking in national elections by the left-leaning Sinn Féin party, which picked up 27 seats, left the former ruling party with only 28 members of the Legislative Assembly. The still-to-be-formed Northern Ireland Executive is the administrative branch of the Legislative Assembly. Claire Moore, a spokesperson for the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, told a press conference in Belfast this week, organized by the Love Equity Coalition, that a majority of MLA's newly reconstituted assembly now support opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. Any new executive, Moore said, must be willing to be a government for all the people of Northern Ireland. The will of the people must be respected. The Belfast Telegraph reported late this week, however, that the minority Ulster Unionist and traditional Unionist voice parties, whose policies define civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual, could support the DUP to achieve that 30-vote majority needed to pass a petition of concern to block discussion of the issue again. Northern Ireland is the last holdout in the British Isles to enact marriage equality. Stay tuned.
Meanwhile, the organizers of Boston's annual St. Patrick's Day parade gave an LGBT veterans group the okay to march in the parade in a Twitter message late in the evening of March 10th. That followed a firestorm after OutVets was denied entry earlier in the week because of its rainbow banners. Several political leaders, including Mayor Marty Walsh and Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, had vowed not to participate if the LGBT group couldn't. A statement by the organizing South Boston Allied War Veterans Council, which is made up of representatives from several South Boston American Legion and Veterans of Foreign Wars posts, first insisted that the council is accepting of all people and organizations, but it will not permit messages that conflict with the overall theme of the parade. It wasn't clear if the subsequent March 10th invitation to OutVets to participate included being allowed to march under their rainbow banners. According to the Boston Globe, the council later clarified that the OutVets invitation was unconditional, and the group then announced that it would indeed proudly march in the March 19th parade. OutVets marched peacefully under rainbow banners in 2015 and 2016 without incident. The group's executive director, Brian Bishop, said his first reaction to this year's rainbow banner ban was, "You gotta be kidding me. This is not a political issue," Bishop said of marching in the nation's second-largest St. Patrick's Day parade behind New York's, calling it an issue of discrimination against those who served. New York St. Patrick's Day parade organizers allowed a few self-identified LGBT groups to march there for the first time last year.
Elsewhere, a tribunal for minors in Florence this week recognized the British and U.S. adoptions by two different same-gender couples as legal in Italy. Among other benefits, the decision allows the Italian citizenship of the parents to be passed on to their children. The court wrote that if parental recognition were to be denied, This would result in a legal uncertainty that would negatively affect the children's development of personal identity. Nikki Vendola, a gay politician who had a child with his partner via a surrogate in the United States, told reporters that it's another step forward for the recognition of the rights of rainbow families. Two fathers and two adopted children are a family, he said. Period. Surrogacy is illegal in Italy. The country's high court last year made it easier for gay men and lesbians to adopt a partner's biological child. Observers believe that decision set the stage for a court in the Italian city of Trento to recently allow two gay dads to both be listed as the parents of twin boys born to a surrogate in Canada. Roman Catholic Italy lags behind most of Europe in its recognition of lesbian and gay couples. After years of pressure, lawmakers finally created less than equal civil partnerships for same-gender couples late last year. The legislation passed only after adoption rights were specifically denied. That forces gay and lesbian couples who want to be joint parents to non-biological children to plead their cases on a court-by-court basis.
Trump Education Secretary Betsy DeVos has supported so-called conversion therapy to make LGBT people straight, opposed marriage equality in her home state of Michigan, and never met a public school she liked. But she continues to occasionally surprise equality advocates. The acts that surprise may be nothing more than symbolic, however. She reportedly objected to the new administration's dumping of Obama-era guidelines to ensure the equal treatment of transgender students in public schools, but was overruled by Attorney General Jeff Sessions and others in the Trump cabinet. And this week, DeVos met with a small group of transgender children and their parents, who pressed her to make good on her promise during confirmation hearings to protect all students. 5-year-old trans girl Ellie Ford and her dad were among those talking to DeVos at the closed-door meeting, as was high school student Grace Dolan Sandrino. Grace's mother, Karen Dolan, told reporters that the education secretary listened to our stories through our tears, and at times she seemed to appear visibly moved, but she didn't react. DeVos issued a statement after the meeting saying that she was grateful for the opportunity and that every school and every school leader has a moral responsibility to protect all students and ensure every child is respected and can learn in an accepting environment. I remain committed to advocating for and fighting on behalf of all students. Grace's mom, Karen Dolan, however, remained skeptical. There is one thing between increasing your understanding and having your heart moved for an hour, and then out of her position of power, either acting to protect transgender and gender nonconforming children, or acting in a way that will make their lives worse, she said. I haven't seen any concrete action that would give me any reason to be hopeful.
In other school-related news, lawmakers in Utah have repealed the law that banned classroom advocacy of homosexuality, a law that failed to provide specifics of what constituted advocacy. That led teachers to avoid directly confronting anti-queer bullying, for example, fearing such an action would violate that law. The statute was challenged in court by Equality Utah and the National Center for Lesbian Rights on behalf of several students and their parents. Progress in the case was delayed to give the legislature a chance to pass a repeal bill. If Republican Governor Gary Herbert signs it, the lawsuit could be vacated. Equality Utah Executive Director Troy Williams called it a historic day for LGBTQ students. The removal of discriminatory language from school curriculum, he said, will send a positive message that all students are valued in Utah. Activists hope that this week's legislative action will pressure lawmakers in Alabama, Arizona, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas to consider repealing similar no-promo-homo laws in their states.
And finally, in more disquieting news, stepped-up vandalism and attacks on LGBT centers have paralleled similar increases in anti-Semitic acts across the U.S. since the election of Donald Trump, who ran a campaign based on animosity toward minority groups. Bomb threats have forced the evacuations of Jewish schools and community centers in more than a dozen states, and hundreds of tombstones were vandalized and overturned at Jewish cemeteries in Philadelphia and St. Louis. Obscene anti-queer graffiti was recently spray-painted across an entire wall of the Los Angeles LGBT Center. Vandals smashed a window at the office of Equality Florida in Orlando, a city now sadly associated with last year's massacre at the LGBT Pulse nightclub. Thugs have hit the LGBT Diverse and Resilient Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 3 times in 2 months. Several windows were smashed at the headquarters in Asbury Park of New Jersey's LGBT Garden State Equality. And more than a dozen shots were fired from a pellet gun into the offices of the Equality Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Fortunately, no one was in the building at the time. The Tulsa World newspaper reported that this was the first time the Equality Center had been the target of vandalism in the 12 years since the LGBT rights group Oklahomans for Equality moved into the building. When asked for a comment by the Washington Blade newspaper about the escalating anti-LGBT attacks, a White House spokesperson, Kelly Love, said that President Trump condemns hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms, including attacks against the LGBT community.
Believe me.
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 Believe me, folks.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending March 11th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Carol Myers.
Flushing out hate. Flushing out discrimination and ignorance and double standards, that is part of the necessary historical sweep of things.
Gay historian Stuart Timmons flushes out hate, discrimination, ignorance, and double standards after the latest on Gavin Grimm's quest to flush somewhere. Grimm's bathroom rights case will not be on the U.S. Supreme Court's immediate agenda as expected. Max Pringle of the Pacifica Evening News explains, and Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez continue the discussion in excerpts from Democracy Now!
The U.S. Supreme Court is returning a transgender teen's case to a lower court without reaching a decision. The justices said they've opted not to decide whether federal anti-discrimination law gives high school senior Gavin Grimm the right to use the boys' bathroom in his Virginia school. The case had been scheduled for argument in late March. Instead, a lower court in Virginia will evaluate the federal law, known as Title IX, and the extent to which it applies to transgender students. The court's action leaves in limbo the issue of transgender rights in school settings. Sarah Warbelow is legal director of the Human Rights Campaign, which advocates for LGBT rights.
This is not a loss for Gavin Grimm. It is not a loss for any other transgender student. It's simply justice delayed. It's going to take some time for the Supreme Court to hear either Gavin's case or another case, clarifying that trans students have a right to be free from discrimination in schools nationwide.
The Supreme Court action came after the Trump administration pulled back federal guidance advising schools to let students use the bathroom that corresponds to their gender identity.
That was Max Pringle.
The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie with the goat, and the little child will lead them, a little child will lead them.
I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. To talk more about Monday's Supreme Court decision, we are joined by Gavin Grimm from a studio in Richmond, Virginia. Also with us here in New York, Chase Strangio, staff attorney at the ACLU. Gavin Grimm, can you respond to what the Supreme Court decided?
Well, it's definitely disappointing. It'll draw the process out a lot longer, which will leave a lot of kids in limbo. But we are as determined as ever to push forward, and if it takes 10 years, I'll stick with it.
Well, now you've become a national figure in many ways in terms of this case. Why do you think it's so important?
Well, transgender kids are an especially vulnerable population, being that in high school it's already difficult to get along, and especially if you don't fit some kind of mold, you're targeted to a greater degree than even normal. And then when you are in an environment where you're not being affirmed and when you're being separated and kept apart from your peers, not only does that send a very negative message to you, but it sends a very negative message to your peers and kind of conveys a precedent for how they'll treat you. So I think it's very important that we talk about rights of bathroom usage for trans youth, especially because if you can't use a bathroom, you can't participate in public life. And that's really what's at the center of this.
And what was your response last month when you heard the Trump administration was revoking the Obama administration's position on this issue?
It was very disappointing, certainly very frustrating, but I was just as determined as ever to push forward, as were, I think, everybody who's been working so hard on this case. But certainly it sent a very, very negative message to the trans youth of our nation.
How have your classmates, your teachers, family, friends, people you don't know, just run the gamut for us, how people have responded to you, Gavin?
Classmates have gotten a lot of support. Teachers have gotten a lot of support. Family have gotten a lot of support. Friends, of course, a lot of support. And then people I don't know, I'm approached almost every time I go out by at least one person who congratulates me and says how supportive they are of me. And this is in my community and outside of it. Even as far as North Carolina, I've been spotted and thanked and congratulated, whereas I've never once had a public confrontation that was negative.
And Gavin, you're a senior. You'll be graduating in the spring. Where do you hope to go to study, and what do you hope to do after college?
Well, I'm definitely pursuing higher education. And after college, I sort of right now what I'm thinking is a career stretch goal is I'd like to be a geneticist, and one day it would be nice to have my own practice.
And Chase, I wanted to ask you the importance of having a transgender youth who so eloquently can speak about the issues involved in his case and the importance of his case nationwide.
When I was growing up as a young trans person, I had no idea it was possible to sort of have a future as a trans adult. And now we have trans young people like Gavin leading our movements. They're out there in the state legislatures. They're bringing their cases to court. They are transforming our consciousness and our political systems. And they're absolutely going to be the people leading us into victory and justice on this issue in the end.
And what is your message, Gavin Grimm, to the Trump administration and to President Trump himself?
You know, I don't think that it's necessary to speak to the detractors. I think I want to promote a very positive message of support to other trans youth and definitely positivity. So I guess I'll go back to the message to trans youth everywhere, and that is, don't be disheartened. Keep your chin up. These things take time, but we are working towards equality every day.
Thank you, Gavin Grimm and Chase Strangio, for joining us. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
If you already long for the all-too-bygone days of the Trump-accused wiretapper-in-chief, have we got a special new show for you.
It began with hope, it epitomized change, and it ended with an unprecedented challenge. This Way Out follows Obama's rainbow reign, from the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to the Supreme Court marriage equality victory, to his anti-discrimination executive orders, and his call for renewed commitment in the future, all in a new collection of historic feature reports available now on CD.
We coach Little League in the blue states, and yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states.
I am a fierce advocate for equality for gay and lesbian Americans.
We are not a nation that says, don't ask, don't tell. We are a nation that says, out of many, we are one.
I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Welcome to the White House. This is the 8th Pride reception that we will celebrate together.
I don't think it is something that will be reversible.
Obama's Rainbow Reign. Get this special CD production, available only at thiswayout.org.
How could a population of gay people be so relatively useless now? Maybe useless is too harsh. Ineffectual. Invisible. No, useless is not too harsh. Oh, let us just call ourselves underutilized. I wish I could make all gay people everywhere, except this one fact that I know to be an undisputed truth. We are hated. We are the only people in America that it is socially acceptable to hate and discriminate against.
Larry Kramer's ACT UP 20th anniversary speech really did cause quite a stir in March of 2007 when we reviewed excerpts from his controversial address last time on This Way Out. It was because his call for a renaissance of street action resonates so well with the movement of today. In the same way, the current revival of hate and the inspiring activism of young leaders like Gavin Grimm also give renewed relevance to the way gay author-historian Stuart Timmons responded to the 2007 Kramer uproar a few weeks later in conversation with This Way Out's Lucia Chappell.
Would you say, from a historical perspective, that Kramer's acerbic rhetoric and the disavowals that have come afterward, is that new in the queer movement?
Absolutely not. It's one of the oldest stories never told, as I often say, about the deep culture of the queer movement. The kind of abrasive charisma that someone like Larry Kramer just brought out recently has been really a stock in trade. You go back 60 years to the founding of the Mattachine Society in 1950 with Harry Hay and Don Slater, who was the editor of One Magazine. Those personalities were known for their fire and brimstone, for their rubbing people the wrong way. Certainly Hay and Don Slater and Morris Kite, the godfather of gay liberation in Los Angeles, and Larry Kramer have been both adored and reviled for taking powerful stands, for becoming sort of alpha males in a community that often had no leadership before, and everyone had their own fantasy that they were it. But the pioneering nature, a person who breaks new ground and articulates an injustice that everyone is feeling, but no one is quite expressing or organizing about and figuring out how to address, that's a very, very tough thing to do. And I think it's just inescapable that there's going to be mistakes made along the way and people are going to be rubbed the wrong way. In the final analysis, it's the point to rub the power structure the wrong way and to sort of chafe the status quo so that things change. And if the immediate community gets rubbed the wrong way too, that's simply part of how history moves.
Do you think the pattern is kind of, you have the kind of a good cop, bad cop, good queer, bad queer?
To a large degree, Kramer used to express that exact perspective in talking about how ACT UP could be strategically effective, that you would have people who would be able to converse with government officials and people on boards of pharmaceutical industries and say, look, if you don't sit down and at least hear us out and maybe negotiate with us, we'll send ACT UP in here or out in front of your headquarters to shut you down. So there was some conscious development of that strategy, yeah. Silent candlelight vigils for several years were the primary way to express a response to AIDS. And the fact that the slogan for ACT UP became silence equals death was incredibly important. It was almost this organic expression of, it wasn't just the government silence, it was the silence of the community that was following along with all these gains that had been made within the gay movement to meet with government officials, create 501c3s and community institutions, and qualify for grants and become more and more respectable and build up a treasury and appeal to the Republicans and conservatives in the community to donate their resources for all this important activism.
I'm Lucia Chappell for This Way Out, and my guest is gay historian Stuart Timmons. One of the things that I think freaked people out the most about what Kramer had to say was his assertion that they still hate us. Who are they?
Yeah, I guess I'm glad I don't live inside Larry Kramer's head. I have to say, honestly, that kind of sweeping statement comes from one's own perception. And I would dissect it all differently. There is an inevitable progress that is happening organically, and you can see it in the arts, you can see it in media, you can see it in education, you can see it in politics. You know, when George Bush says that he doesn't wish any violence on any gay people, despite whatever his noxious policies are, a president saying that gay people shouldn't be beat up is progress. I think you can see that there have been fundamental shifts and some fundamental progress. The fact that the bedrock of real day-to-day activism now exists in American high schools across the country and in the Midwest, that's a remarkable piece of progress. Flushing out hate or flushing out discrimination and ignorance and double standards, that is part of the necessary historical sweep of things. To me, and I think in the long view of history, it's never a shock to see that there's hatred or unequal treatment. The shock would be to pretend that it shouldn't exist anymore, and the tragedy would be to stop addressing it.
Stuart Timmons, gay historian, author of Gay LA, The History of Sexual Outlaws, Power Politics, and Lipstick Lesbians, and also The Trouble with Harry Hay, founder of the gay movement. Stuart, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
They are falling all around me. They are falling all around me.
Lucia Chappell interviewed Stuart Timmons in 2007. The gay historian suffered a debilitating stroke the following year. With Herculean effort, he was able to return to his work preserving queer history and participated in the 2012 christening of the Mattachine Steps, an official Los Angeles landmark recognizing the neighborhood of Harry Hay. Stuart Timmons died this year on January 28th. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Carol Myers, John Dyer V, and Lucia Chappell contributed program material with thanks to Steve Pride and to Max Pringle on the Pacifica Evening News and Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez and Democracy Now! Betsy Hernandez and Sweet Honey in the Rock performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. And be sure to check out the new video promo there for Obama's Rainbow Rain. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Richard Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on South Waves Radio, Chichester, West Sussex, WOMR, Provincetown, Massachusetts, Radio Veronica, West Point, Pennsylvania, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.